is Hughie. Hello, everybody. And what we've done today, as you can hear, voices recovered from yesterday's episode, is almost a wrap-up of the previous episode. The previous episode went pretty crazy. There's a lot of fighting, a lot of arguments, and frankly, there's been a lot of accusations. I've been accused of setting Carl up. I've been accused of, a lie on a pylon, which isn't true, but I can understand why people think that. So what I did today was I set up a new round table to go over last night's issues, and we were joined by, of course, Trucker Andy from the Great All Apologies podcast, and we were joined by Echo Pineapple from Pint Dabble Pint and many, many other shows. What the fuck is the name of his show now? The Clip Watching One. I have no idea. But he has a lot of shows that he hosts, and he's a good lad, and we're going to be Las Vegas buddies within about a month and a half. So there you go. And so is Andy. And so is the background music that you hear. You're probably thinking, God, it's good. What is that? Well, that is Arena by Daft Punk. You guessed it, from the Tron Legacy soundtrack. You'd think I'd be bored of randomly picking those songs, but no, it just keeps happening. And I got no problem with it anyway. So in this episode, we talk a lot about the fact that of the pylon. We talk about the weirdness of Stuttering John's kind of uncomfortable friendship with Kiki, if it's leading to issues. But mainly we talk about the Anthony Cumia accusations and the really dark shit that he's been accused of. And frankly, if you heard the previous episode, you will see that he was, let's just flatly say it, being accused of being a paedophile, like really dark shit. And I'm not playing dumb. I had never heard that before. Well, I mean, I'd heard the claims, but this specific new one, I'd never heard before. It sounds way more serious than this episode is, which is really a St. Patrick's Day party, and hopefully much shorter, lighthearted one than usual. But of course, you'll see the video version. You need to go to Hughie Entertainment on YouTube. All you've got to do is hit the like button, leave a comment, or multiple comments if you want, and become a subscriber. It all helps with the old algorithm. At Hughie on Twitter and Instagram. Always love posting on my lovely Instagram. And once we finish this paid sponsorship, we're going to go into the episode by saying, Echo and Andy, hello. Today's episode of It's Hughie Hello has been brought to you by Murders and Mistresses. Now, hear me out. This is a video game. Now, everybody who knows me knows that I'm completely obsessed with GTA. Really into my superhero stuff. Love sci-fi. Love my horror games. Had a dangerous addiction to, Simpsons Tapped Out for way, way too long. Well, now we've got this new game for you, and it's called Murders and Mistresses. Murders and Mistresses is a choice-driven detective adult game about sex, power, judgment. And it is free demo, just launched on Steam right now. Now, if you know anything about these sort of choice-driven games, and detective games, of course, there was the classic The Quarry, which just came out a few years ago, apparently now getting turned into a Netflix show. There was The Devil and Me, maybe the scariest game that I've played. Very, very good. I love this kind of stuff. Well, in this game, you play an ex-con man turned police consultant. You're trying to outsmart these killers while seducing suspects and colleagues and exploring a kinky marriage with your insatiable wife. So clearly, this is not just your average, regular, run-of-the-mill game. This is something special. During the cases, you will investigate crime scenes, you'll interrogate suspects, and of course, you will make deductions. Then you'll decide who to arrest. But of course, there's more to it than just that. Outside of cases, you can actually like party with your colleagues, you can date ex-murder suspects, which is always sounds like fun. And of course, you can experience wild, fully explicit sexual adventures. Sorry to say, adventures. I've got crimes against the English language. Sexual adventures with and without your wife. Now, obviously, people want to test this out first before they do anything. Well, you can play the free demo right now on Steam using the link in the description or searching for Murders and Mistresses. The description, of course, will be in the podcast links or in my YouTube or social media. Look out for it. The demo contains your first kiss, a brutal double homicide, 3 explicit sex scenes, and a whole lot more. I'm very excited about this. This is 2026, huge year for video games. We'll get GTA 6 coming later this year. This is going to be huge. So why not check out Murders and Mistresses, available right now on Steam. And I want to thank them for sponsoring the podcast, and on with the show. Hughie stumbled through the door, glassy eyes and wanted more. Whiskey breath that screamed out loud. In the bar, he was the crowd. Stories flying off his tongue, songs of battles lost and won. Every sip, another tale. In the pub, he'd never fail. Hughie swings and Hughie sways. Shamrock nights and funny days. Raise a glass and cheer it on. Hughie's legend will live long. That's right, we're starting off with a membership comment from usual co-host Dilemmy. Do you think Medusa's pubes were tiny little snakes? Well, Lemmy would answer that in person, but she's not here today. She's still out knocking over cars and tipping over motorbikes from yesterday's Rage-a-Hall incident that she had, which, of course, we will talk about today with one of today's guests, the beautiful Eccle Pineapple. Eccle, how are you doing today, geezer?
Yeah, not too bad, Cheesy. Looking forward to a nice boring show after your last one, so it should be good.
Great joke. That's what you get when you're funny. And of course, the king of hitting the like button, always ready to push the agenda. It's the great trucker Andy. Andy, how are you doing today?
Fan-fucking-tastic. Can you imagine if shit coming off of Eccle's head was snakes? That would be so trippy. I'd be like, how many vapes would I have to hit to imagine that?
Can you imagine if instead of taking the piss, a piss took you? Yeah. That's like Matthew McConaughey. I'm going to read Lemmy's comment. This Matthew McConaughey. He goes, "Hey, do you think Medusa's pubes were tiny little snakes?" See?
Yeah.
Hit the like button. And speaking of which, the lovely Tim from Michigan just became a YouTube member. What a start to a great show. Everybody can go hit the lick button. Everybody can go hit the like button, and we're all going to do great. So yesterday, I should say last night, probably 24 hours ago, quite literally, recorded an episode with the greater Carl, Lady K, and what's her name? Ava Riza and $2 Dan, Little Lemmy and the final boss. And what I thought was going to be a reasonable debate about the stuttering John Anthony Cumia thing turned into a Daniel LaRusso versus the, what do you call him? What were they called?
Cobra Kai
in their skeleton suits. So they all give Carl a good kicking in his Char's costume, which was still a weird choice. Hey, I'm going to go to the Halloween dance and the new guy at school. What cool costume are you going to go as? A Char.
Yeah. Carl showed up as a human urinal and got pissed on for 2 hours. It was crazy.
I'm up for it. So of course, one of the main things that happened was that one of the questions you're going to get to, and I've put it all in the poll here. The controversy was brought up about Anthony Cumia and the story of South Cutting Girl. Carl said he'd never heard of that story before, and I believed him because I had never heard of that story before until yesterday. And a lot of people in the chat kind of went after Carl for it. Ava and Dan went after him pretty hard for it, and Final Boss. So the question I would ask you, I'll start with you on that one, Andy. Were you aware of that story of Cumia and the girl?
Genuinely not aware of that. I am in the bucket of the lesser fandom of Opie and Anthony. We used to get it second hand in the afternoon. It would air live in New York, and then I would get the feed in the afternoon. And I got to a point, I listened to Opie and Anthony, everybody just always like shitting on everything all the time, and the negativity of it kind of pushed me away from it. I'm a happy-go-lucky person, and I just didn't need to hear that everything sucks all the time. So I wasn't the biggest fan of ONA. I know that's like an unpopular opinion in the Dabbleverse, but just not my speed, I guess. And I didn't follow all of the pedophilia allegations so closely, so I'd never heard of that, no.
What about you, Echo? Do you ever heard of that story?
Yeah, well, first of all, congratulations on sandbagging Carl. That was brilliant work, Husey. I think you may have burnt a few bridges there, but you did a good effort of pretending like you wasn't trying to set him up. So fair play, it was great content. I think you've got to admit as well, Carl does go about 10 minutes late where he goes, well, yeah, I've heard of it. I've not like watched the documentary or anything, but obviously I've heard of it. So he kind of backtracks a bit there. Yeah, it's one of those things, you've heard stuff about Cumia, right? So even with Andy, where he's obviously not as into it as other people, he hears the stuff where he's like, yeah, he's notoriously jokes about being going out with people who are underage, or, you know, he took a 17-year-old to prom. So even people who aren't fully into it will know about it roughly.
Yeah, but the thing is, that doesn't, the accusations don't specifically mean that it happened.
Sure, like, that's the same with everything, QC. Yeah, that's why the accusations are not facts, right?
So why is it then that the accusations against Cumia are to be instantly believed, and anyone who doesn't believe it is like a shill or a fucking panderer or whatever you call it? That's why I didn't understand the mob going after Carl about that, because he has his proof that it didn't happen. As much as they have proof that it did, you know what I'm saying?
Sure, so they're both equally within their rights to say their opinion. So Carl was within his rights to say that he like doesn't believe it's true, or he didn't even say that, to be fair. He said, I haven't watched the documentary. We know Andy's got a bit of a reputation, but that's as far as it goes. Everyone else just said the same, but to the opposite opinion. So that's fine, right? Carl's entitled to say his bit, and they're entitled to say their bit.
But how can they be so, like, believing it when there is no actual proof?
How can you be so not believing it? It's the exact same thing, right?
How can I not believe something with no proof?
in a world where we can watch a bunch of fucking lions. Just like AI turns a fucking pride of lions into a flash mob at the zoo. It's like, anybody can fucking create anything online anymore. How am I supposed to believe anything?
Did you say any more?
All the more. Evermore.
Oh.
Nevermore.
What a strange person.
This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits. Sharia, who's making progress with meds. And Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com.
But what were you saying there, Echo, you bloke?
Yeah, so just because you don't want to believe something as well, Hughie, doesn't mean it's not true. Dan wanting it to be true doesn't necessarily make it a fact, right? So I get it. Pro Carl, pro Kumia. I'm definitely going to go up and see Kumia if I get the chance in Vegas, even with all of the allegations. That's a fact, Jack. But
I love
it. Just seems weird that you're like, it can't be right because I'm friends with Carl and I like Kumia. It can't be true.
No, I'm saying it hasn't been proven to be true.
Right, okay. But you realize there's allegations against people that we say in other facts, not just with Kumia. This one just you don't want to kind of give any credence to because, as you said, you had no idea about it, but you're more than happy to say it's not true, even though you know nothing about it, as you've said yourself.
Nicolas Cage is standing over there.
There you go. There you go. It's a fact.
No, well, that's the thing, air. Though, Echo. You got to be, you got to take these things under consideration where.
Massive pinch of salt.
Yeah, but once something is asserted, there's going to be a cross section of people, you know, present company included, that are just going to believe it. And then they're like a quad father type of person whose mind will never be changed, whether evidence comes to light that they've been proven wrong. We're living in a world where people's opinions become fact and people refuse to change their minds. So once you put something out there like that, it's damaging. And I just feel like people need to take better care of considering the source, I guess.
Sure. So I would point out with regards to this, it was a Porcelain documentary, which had a lot of this out, I believe, of which I've seen people mention him with regards to other people in the Dabbleverse and slightly outside of it as well. And that doesn't mean it's 100% fact, but it's not like Dan just out of nowhere made up a rumor, you know, to throw out there. And I would also say what's interesting is neither of you have gone, so do you actually believe it, Echo? Because what I'm actually saying is there is a story about Kumia and a documentary about Kumia, what they were talking about. That's a fact. That is true. So immediately, just over the defensive.
Sure.
Like, so, yeah, that does mean like, it's 100% factual. Andy, but, yeah.
Documentary. Yeah.
Diablo Baggins 666. Thanks for the toll. Where's the shank? Skank?
Skank.
Lemmy's not here today.
Yeah, right.
No way.
Hit the like button for skanks.
Yeah, hit the like button for making jokes about dirty slags. But yeah, Kiki will be joining us.
Speaking of skanks.
Yeah, did that remind you of something, Kiki? Why did you bring up her name immediately after that?
What? I don't know what you mean. By the way, I've been working on my stealth chaos impression. Where he goes, I don't understand the point of Final Boss. Why does Final Boss do the things? I have AIDS. I'm still working on it. But I got to ask you then again, because Echo mentioned he says about it being an ambush on Carl. My whole thing was that I thought it would have been a really interesting episode, mostly for me to sit back and watch, for fucking Ava and Carl, Lady K, to debate the two sides of the issue. And I think that one of the problems of last night's thing was that Carl was letting Ava talk, but then when Carl went to give his side, Ava would quickly talk over him or cut him off. And then Dom's joining in, and then the Final Boss was taking shots at Carl. So it seemed like it was a three-on-one while Lemmy was hitting my like button just like everybody else out there.
It's almost like a show host orchestrated it that way. How crazy that somebody got ganged up on. Weird, Husey.
Who knew if you had Ava and $2 Dan on, they wouldn't be friendly with Carl? That's mad. Who knew that? But I kind of disagree a little bit there, Husey, because Ava and Carl actually had a few good moments where they could actually go back and forth a little bit. Carl zinged her a few times. She even zinged him back with a few of like similar comments. I thought it was pretty decent, which hurts me to say about your show. Yeah.
Well, it hurts being number 152 or whatever in the all-important list. Definitely
whatever
matter.
It was. Yes.
It all matter to this fucking guy. Slash. or as we would call him, piss. Connor swims. He's always got a good take. Connor swims. Thanks for the five. Andy, sounds like some of Carl's smug arrogance has rubbed off on you. Eccle is making a point and you're getting defensive.
I mean, just disagreeing is defensive. Okay.
Yes.
Fight. Like having a difference of opinion. Let's not like have a conversation where we don't necessarily agree. Let's call it like arrogance and whatever smugness, just because I don't see things the same way.
Okay, yeah, sure. Let's go with that. Cool.
I mean, is that not the case? I mean, I'm being arrogant because I have a difference of opinion.
I think it's just the way people talk, so I get accused of it as well. But I am actually arrogant at times, so that's fine.
Oh, I mean, it's the accent. All these Euro accents come off as smug in the States.
Yes.
We'll all be in the States in about, was it 5 weeks or something?
Dude, I can't wait.
How long now? It's going to be great.
I'm in a mixture of completely excited / probably have a heart attack due to anxiety.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Eccle, are you going to Hackamania?
I am, mate. Yep, I'm on my way. I've got my Clay Dabbler mask ready.
Hell yeah.
Here's a question that'll be interesting. Diablo Baggin 666. Thanks for the toll. Nice one. That Dan is great. Why isn't his show bigger? Eccle.
Yes.
You've got a reasonable, like, well, we're all doing pretty reasonably on the in the dab, bro. Guess that impression. Doing it in the dab. Why is it you think that Dan has been around for a while? And I'm not taking a shot. I enjoy nice podcast, stupid, but it doesn't really seem to have caught on or developed a larger audience. Why do you think that is?
So he's a bit of a... Well, he's obviously your attack dog, which is pretty cool. Because you get him to say stuff you don't want to say to people that you want to stay friendly with, which is very, very good of you. But I don't know. Dan's got quite a niche audience, very loyal like fan base who do like Dan stuff. I don't know. I guess maybe he's a bit too arrogant, a bit too confrontational with stuff. He wants to fight everyone. So that might be why. Maybe that's just my opinion. Yeah.
Part of me thinks that he's angry at the dab, because I didn't specifically say or personally say it, but him and his wife got doxed last year, the year before, so he's probably out to get certain people. But yeah. I think nice podcast stupid is pretty good. But what do you think, Andy? Like, what's the word within the WATP world?
I guess that's a good question. It doesn't come up that often, but I will say that I am having $2 Dan on my poker show on Thursday, all in on the Dabbleverse. Dan from Nice Pike Podcast Stupid is going to be there with Joey C, Shmuel Buckman. So I'm inviting a lot. I'm not gatekeeping. A lot of people have been talking about gatekeeping and people not being allowed to have a voice in the Dabbleverse, and that's not what we're doing over there. So Dan is welcome on the show. And I feel like my opinion of Nice Podcast Stupid, my awareness of it is more of like a Transformers GoBots kind of analogy, where I feel like it was piggybacking on a format that was already established. And if I'm being honest, I don't listen to it that much. But I do like when he's appearing on your show. I like a contrarian opinion. I like having this type of discussion, even though disagreements may come off a certain way. But Dan is welcome over on my channel. So the more the merrier, is my opinion.
Yeah, my whole thing about Dan is that he's honest. And even when I don't agree with his opinion, you know that when he says it, that's his legitimate opinion.
Mm-hmm. So, do you genuinely... You've had that on your show quite a few times.
I fucking think it's lag.
He says his gimmick is pretty much saying stuff he doesn't believe in that he will then delete and go back on and go, I was just fucking around. I was just trolling. That's essentially Dan's whole thing. But you think he's super honest and that's his main characteristic.
Okay. Well, suppose so. But in the meantime, beef drippings, thanks for the toll. Two fruits yelling Carl Ron means nothing. Sup, y'all. Yeah, that's something else I'm going to say. That all the people trying to say that Carl stormed off the show yesterday, which is completely untrue because he had said before we went live that fucking dead.
They had dinner.
Jenny Jingles was making dinner at a certain time. So even if fucking Metallica came on and they wanted Carl to choose the set list, he was going to be gone anyway before he could ask people to hit the like button. In the meantime,
I got confused when they were talking about two fruits yesterday. I thought they were talking about today. You got two fruits on your show.
Come on, man. Three, actually. And Buckman will be here soon. Not Paul Rubens. Thanks for the 10. Why didn't the man pretending to be a 13-year-old report Cumia to the FBI, the police, if he thought Cumia was doing what he claims? Why didn't he pull a Chris Hansen? See, this is why I like Lemmy.
It's why we need Lemmy on the show.
Sweating now.
You know the answer to that question, though, right? I'm sure you guys.
I like getting fucked in my ass and doing cocaine.
Brilliant drop right halfway from
go ahead.
So you have those people who kind of set up things in America as well, right, with nonces, PDFs, all that stuff, and they put it on their YouTube channel, and a lot of them beat them up or make them eat a hot chili and they're just doing it for content essentially, or for clout, or they don't really care about justice, because the ones who do set up with the police so it can actually be used to get them sent to jail. There's different things. So I assume with this, the person just wanted to fuck over Cumia, would be my answer. They were more bothered about getting a story out about him being a PDF than actually getting him in trouble for allegedly being a PDF.
But my whole thing, right, I've said this a few times. I said this on Pat Dixon's on over the weekend. Humble brag, you can go back and watch it now and hit the like button in the meantime. You should, because Lemmy's tits were so big in that episode that it got age-restricted for content. Yes. Thanks, Lemmy. I would have got many donations if it wasn't for you. Hit the like button with your tits. But the thing is, right, so back in the Opie and Anthony days, that show could literally make or break you because it was so popular and the audience was so loyal that if they were like, the Isotopes are playing at the fucking the Madison Square Garden Theater, it would sell out before the end of that episode of ONA. Since leaving that show, Anthony's status has fallen way down. Like, he's very popular within the community and he's still funny, but he is not even a tenth of the fame he used to, so there's no reason for people to defend him. So if all that shit is true, I really don't believe that these people would still be hanging out with them and socializing with them. Am I wrong, Andy, right, or are you part of Cumia's foul trading crew?
Well, yeah, I feel like Carl falls more into the camp of a free speech kind of let's all be able to do what we want to do. And obviously, he has cultivated his show on the shoulders of Anthony and the fandom of Opie and Anthony. He found that as a show that shits on terrible podcasts, he found Opie's show and is like, oh, this is a piece of shit. He found John's show. Oh, this is a piece of shit. And just because that the people that are supporting that are maybe coming from a place of a checkered past. That doesn't mean that that's not bringing eyes onto your show. And it's an unfortunate side effect of, you know, finding like smoke, finding fire, and that kind of fan base being toxic. Because we all know like the pests in Reddit were super toxic. And those are the people that are running to the Dabbleverse to shit on everything. And it just, it's part and parcel with the, you know, leveling up, I guess. And, you know, people are going to have differing opinions, and they're going to, there's a spectrum of, I like off-color humor, I like black comedy, or I'm actually a piece of shit. And walking that line is very tricky, I think, and that's where we find ourselves. And Shmuel Buckman, everybody. I got the light. I got the Buckman light, like Gino.
I find that very revealing, Husey. That that's your opinion. Carl could only be friends to get some sort of boost in popularity.
How would it not be?
Andy Cumia, do you not find Andy Cumia funny in general? Do you not think he is a likable person?
I do, but like just because somebody is funny is, doesn't mean that I have to follow their Twitter and agree with what they post on Twitter. Just because I think that their jokes
find the racist stuff funny?
That's somebody else. That's not me.
Sure.
That's my account. Yeah,
but I could still be a fan of Opie and Anthony and WATP without following Anthony Cumia's Twitter.
Sure. Mm. But you can also be a fan of Anthony Cumia because you find him funny in general as well.
I will tell you this, and I don't. Anthony will probably say, I don't even know who Trucker Andy is. Probably because every time that he's been in like in person around, I don't really have a conversation with Anthony. So maybe it's because Anthony doesn't want to have a conversation with me. But it's just like, there's some things that we're going to agree on, and there's some things we're going to disagree on. And following Anthony on Twitter is one of those things.
I'll say this, that Anthony's Twitter, what it's become, is disappointing, because he used to be like a legitimately a joke machine all day long. But instead it's like, look, a fight on the train. What does that tell you? And you think, right, okay, we get it. But before we go on, Ice Dancer, thanks for the dough. Echo equals dork.
Yes, Echo equals smile talker.
So Ice not only donated to the show, she just gave us the title of the episode. But one of the things I want to go back to is about the Carl Ambush thing. Like, I don't think that he... Well, I mean, I didn't plan to set him up to be like piled up on. I because if you watch the second episode, I was actually on Lady K's side of the issue. Like, he and I were agreeing against those other bunch of bastards. But there has been a growing anti-Carl sentiment online. So the question I would say is, Andy, do you think that's because of something Carl did, or because of the the hierarchy of WATP?
I think that the more that you're out there, the more there's going to be a bigger cross section of people that disagree with you. You know, it's like the more people that are finding the show, the more people are going to have a descending opinion about what you're doing. Connor, I feel like that's what I just said, but good, thanks for making my point for me.
I'll read it out for Connor. Thanks for the five, because he'll want me to say the thanks for the five. Andy, I hope one of the things you don't agree with Anthony on is dating children.
You
do date them?
That's one of the things I don't agree with Anthony on.
Yeah,
I wouldn't date a child. Yes,
fruit. I mean, Ackle. But what do you think about the anti-call stuff? Do you think that that's fair? or do you think it's, I mean, do you think it's natural, or do you think it's just because he's one of the bigger shows?
Yeah, so it's a touch of one thing, a touch of another, right? So there's going to be a little bit of just natural jealousy, I guess, with smaller shows to bigger shows, just in general. But also there will be perceptions of people maybe being somewhat arrogant towards the smaller shows, or the audiences that they have. And rightly or wrongly, I think that's what Carl gets tarred with. And also, to be fair, Aussie guy Dean from Perth, Australia, made a brilliant point. He went, oh, that's great. We heard about this Dabbleverse live show that they're doing. Brilliant, like, great to have more content and what have you. The promise was to have, like, new people, different shows, like, kind of get everyone on WATP's side of it, I think they had. I can't even remember the three, but it was Cardiff, who's a regular on WATV. Was it yourself, Trucker Andy, or were you on one of them? And then there's Christian Blatt. So the three people who were on this channel were all people who was regularly on WATP. So I thought that was quite funny to notice.
Yeah, is that what his tweet was about? Because
it's just tongue in cheek, obviously, because he went on it a few weeks back. And then people were obviously saying, oh, great, I'm glad that you're mixing it up with the people that you always have on your show as your random guest.
No, I haven't been on there. That wasn't me, but...
Not yourself. I can't remember what the third one was, sorry.
No, I understand what you're saying, though. Yeah, it's like, oh, we're going to do something different. It's the same old shit. Yeah, I get it.
Delbo Baggins, thanks for the five. How's Ireland doing after importing all those refugees? Those specific migrants in Ireland. Well, Dublin is the worst shithole it's been since the 90s. And they're not, they're refugees. They're illegals. And I'd like to see them fucking try. Anyway.
How would you even know? Don't you live in Britain? Aren't you a fellow Brit like myself, Yeezy?
No.
You're not even Irish.
Well, I'm a refugee Irish. From Ireland.
He doesn't even live in Ireland. He's a fake.
Kinky Loco, thanks for the toll. Yo, Andy, you got your flask handy?
Kinky and I were hanging out in Atlantic City, and I'll have that in Vegas at Hackamania. I'll get April 10th through the 13th, 12th, whatever. We'll be there all weekend. Flask in
hand. Franco Bez.
Yeah.
So I had a poll put up about that stuff with Lady K, if people actually believed that he didn't know. And of course, the thing is not showing up now. Great. Well, it seemed that mostly people agree, yes, that they believe the Carl didn't know, because that's one of the things. And this is and we're talking about Carl being called obnoxious and stuff. But one of the problems with the dab, right, is that they seem to think everybody knows literally everything about what happened at all times, regardless of what stream. And I think that's one of the things about the Dabbleverse that I don't like. It's like, yeah, I actually don't remember what Carl said on episode 14 during the 2023 around minute 19. Like, I forgot that one, that banger.
That's a bit of an extreme example, but yeah.
It's actually a very good witty example. Mm. It's a better written wit than fucking Aussie guys tweet about Dabbleverse Live.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch the Shmuel Buckman episode?
Yeah.
How was it?
Oh, I mean, yeah, I watched it.
It was very Shmuel-esque. I look forward to having it in the poker game on Thursday night.
Well, just put up a new poll question about the second topic. Like, I'm a Tommy Jordan fan. Any interactions I've had with him, he's a good laugh. He seems like a genuinely nice, friendly guy. I think Andy met him in AC.
I did, yeah.
But unfortunately, the problem with the Dabbleverse, bro, is that they always need the next lol cow. And like a couple of weeks ago, it was Kim Nicholson over a thing. The week before that, it was somebody else. I can't remember. I should have done research to back up my point, but I won't. So go fuck yourself. So what it was over the weekend, and nobody's really covered this, so this is breaking news. Stuttering John did a stand-up comedy gig, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to believe it. And instead of jokes, you heard it here first, he stood up and he read Kumia's report thing. Eccles silenced himself so he could fart. And he should have just done it into the microphone. That's radio gold. People would have hit the like button for that. And back to the story. Tommy jumped up and grabbed the report and ripped it up. And since then, there's been a huge backlash against him. Doom has been significantly clipping anything that goes against Tommy that makes him look bad. Like, can we take that out of context? Apparently, his Twitter or YouTube was flagged or suspended or something.
You know so little about this shit. Yeah, his YouTube's down for 2 weeks. He plays non-stop copyrighted music, and it was sabotage to get himself off YouTube, I believe. So yeah.
By
the Beastie Boys.
I feel like Tommy's whole thing has been running before he can walk. He's come in hot, and he doesn't really. He has all the enthusiasm and not a lot of know-how. So I did talk to him for an extended amount of time in Atlantic City, and it changed my mind about the man. And I feel like he has a gimmick and an angle and an approach. I don't feel like he's the greatest host of a show, and I feel like that's part and parcel with him trying to, you know, arrive on the scene in an aggressive way. But I feel like there's room to grow, and he's going to get better. And I think I welcome his involvement in the Dabbleverse, even if maybe some of it is ill-timed.
You think that he's too enthusiastic, but I guess you could say that Tommy should curb his enthusiasm. Thank you. But the thing, so the poll I put up in the question I put up in the poll, what a hilarious outtake. People are going to clip that, and I'm going to feel so silly. Is Tommy Jordan a lol cow now? And I've gone for some pretty adventurous options here. One of the options is yes, and the other option is no, which I think really mixes up the whole concept of questionnaires. But the thing is that with Tommy, he went on MLC the other day. It might have been yesterday or the day before, and God bless him, he fucking bombed really badly. Like, regardless of what show he went on, that was not a good appearance. And to specifically go on MLC, where they don't even like professional comedians like Doug Stanhope going on, and the chat goes after him. Tommy basically is the type of guy who lost the boxing fight by KO and then went out to get into a bar fight afterwards expecting a different reaction. Hit the like button. But what do you think, Echo? Do you think that Tommy has set himself up to become the new lol cow, or just it's a temporary thing?
So what's your definition of lol cow, I guess, is the question, right? Because he definitely has traits for it. If I was being generous, I would say people love his personality, well, mainly his enthusiasm. People really like his edits. He's very good at editing. Problem is, he kind of needs a Perry handler, you know, someone who can physically stop him from streaming, who can physically stop him from doing stuff, because he's all over the place. He doesn't know what he's doing. And people like Andy, I don't want to be mean, but you said, so he's got plenty of room to improve and I'm sure he'll get better. I don't think so. I think the problem is with Tommy, unfortunately, he's got like pretty bad ADHD, I think, with regards to...
You think he has bad ADHD, do
pretty
you?
Pretty bad ADHD, yes.
That's great insight. I didn't realize you were a fucking relative of Sherlock Holmes.
Your research was you thought we got banned on Twitter, which is very impactful.
I was watching porn.
I think the definition of a lol cow is a person that can't get out of their own way. They can't stop embarrassing themselves. I think I'm gonna say I used to think that Tommy was that. He was too chaotic. He was too much of a yo. And then when I got to meet him in person, I feel like I gleaned the possibility that he knows how to self-edit. So that self-awareness lets me think that he has potential to maybe grow as a personality in the Dabbleverse. I could be wrong, though.
I think what Tommy just needs to do is relax. Look at the three of us.
What amazing advice. Relax. Oh, my God. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's almost as good as I think Tommy's got fucking...
really bad ADHD.
HIV or something. Yeah. While he's fucking running, doing backflips off the wall, cars in the street, and you're going, I think he's fucking got it.
Well, if you think about it from a musical point of view, when I was in a old band, and you're trying to make an impression, you come on the scene and you feel like you need to prove to everybody that you know how to play all the notes on the guitar. And then you realize that songwriting is a better idea. And like, your average listener doesn't need everything all at once. So Tommy just needs to realize like what he's doing right and what he's doing wrong, and turn that into his show instead of just being everything everywhere all at the same time.
Yeah, take that, Bruce Kulick. Little shout out to all the Kiss Army listeners.
So as someone who actually watches Tommy and can maybe give some actual insight on it, Husey, he did a stream once where he did a 10-minute stream, and it was deliberately a 10-minute stream. He had to go to work or whatever, so he set it up just a quick 10-minute stream, and it was brilliant. It was just a little bit of nonsense, a little bit of him back and forth with the chat, and it was great. So that would be my advice in 2 weeks' time, Tommy, just 10-minute streams. And I only like two of them a day.
Here's one of the new... ladies around, more photographs, please. Young Old Vibes, thanks for being a member. And everybody can buy a membership for as little as $1 each to unlock episodes that have yet to be released. Tommy needs to learn it's not always about me. I would agree with that. Like, again, he's not like a dick or a bad person, but like, it's okay to not have the topic changed to you. And I would also say, if you're going to insist on live streaming events, maybe test out the equipment before you get there, because he's getting all the footage, but he might as well have filmed it from the camera from the Burwitz project. Hit the like button for references to the mid-90s.
He went to the Stevie Lou Academy of filming footage.
Yeah, here's Stevie Lou filming 9/11.
Yeah, allow me to disagree for just a little bit, because when you say Tommy is making it all about him all the time, the one thing that started making me pay attention to him was when because the first thing that he's doing right is putting himself out there and asking all of these people to please just come on my show. Ashley Cummings, let's get Kiki and Ashley on and watch them shit on each other. And then he just disappears off of his own show.
You can't say them like that. Don't lie.
Like, that's what Husey does. He invites all these people that hate each other onto his show and shuts the fuck up and lets them fight. And Tommy did that.
Don't you dare make me defend Husey.
He's just not doing it consistently.
Right, I know we're not.
Am I wrong?
Go watch. Yeah, you're wrong. Go watch Sam Bibley. Okay, and he did a clip.
I'm citing something specific.
Yes, and I'm responding. Right,
and I'm just telling Tommy. I'm speaking to Tommy right now.
Okay,
Tommy, I'm talking to you specifically. Do more of that. Less of you getting involved, and more of the people that hate each other, yelling at each other, Jerry Springer style. That's your format. Now, go ahead, Echo. Tell me that I'm wrong.
Now let's read the super sticker first. Go on.
Actually, if I can read
it
this.
It just says super sticker. Okay.
Ged Bilio. This is Lemmy. She's
hit the like
fucking...
button for thank derailing
you.
The
thank
show.
Thank you so much thank for you. The super sticker.
Yes. Hey,
okay. Thanks done. For the dough. Here's a nice one from James Ballmert. Thanks for the five. I came for the pineapple, but I stayed for the Husey.
As long as you come for me, that's fine, James. That's
nice, okay. Nice smiley face there at the end of it.
At least it'll taste better, right?
Midnight mm-hmm. Mike, a good Get My Go fan. Thanks for the toe. A little callback to the start of the show. If Ava was was on right now, he would be bottom right. I'm going to say something about the dab. Is that I love how nearly everybody in the Dabbleverse is so careful to not want to offend Annie in any way. Say anything that would offend her about, you know, how she's living her life. Yeah, with Ava, people don't give a fuck. It's like, right, what's her real name?
There's a massive difference. Massive difference. And Annie is extremely likable. No offense, Ava. Annie is super based, I think the kids would call it as well. So she'd be like, yeah, knock yourself out. Like, if you want to say that, that's fine. I'm just going to crack on and play my games or do my stream. That's the difference. Yeah.
And not Paul Rubens. Thanks for the five. Tommy should have went on MLC and just smiled. And just smiled and giggled at anything KB said, like Karmic. And KB would have blown him. That's pretty true.
It's a tough one, that, isn't it? Because nearly everyone that goes on MLC are terrible. But Tommy was just terrible in a different way. And I think that's the problem. He was just couldn't help but interrupt KB, and KB hated it.
Yeah. You know what? I should announce at this point that I have not seen the Tommy yet. I've been defending Tommy up to this point based on what I saw at Rodney's and Atlantic City. I did not see this KB shit. So I just want to say that. So if he like publicly, you know, stepped on a rake, it was an even worse look, which is my understanding of everything I'm reading on X, then that's on Tommy. No. But I'm just trying to give the dude the benefit of the doubt and room to improve.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
I'll be fair to Tommy with that. Yeah, it was a swing and a miss, but it wasn't anything terrible. He was just annoying KB, which is good enough for some people. And then KB got rid of him. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, on the heels of Rodney's, where people were upset that the event ended sooner than maybe it should have. Yeah, everybody wanted to see John shit his pants on stage, right? It's like that would have been the coup de grace of John's involvement in the Dabbleverse. But Tommy cut it short, and I think that's everybody's criticism, that he neutered the event. And I don't really... I don't think anybody was enjoying what John was doing there, and they wished that he would move on and do something different. And I think that's what Tommy thought. And Tommy's an impulsive person, and he just inserted himself where he shouldn't have. And he's paying the price for that now.
Mm-hmm. Same thing that Anthony's been accused of doing.
Can I ask you something real quick? So with regards to if you went to go see a stand-up show, if the person on stage sucked, and you didn't like it and you wasn't enjoying it, would you be okay if someone intervened physically and ended the show? Or would you be like, hey, come on, if you don't like it, just leave, get your refund? So that's the problem. Because it's John, we do have the blinkers on. And because maybe it's Tojo, we have the blinkers on. But in reality, he shouldn't have done what he did, full stop. Like, I know, we hated it and everyone hated it. Okay, that's fine, but you still shouldn't have done it.
But that's the thing. People weren't actually hating it.
Well, there you go.
It
doesn't matter if you like it or not, right? So,
like, Stuttering John has spent his whole life trying to speak like Andrew Dice Clay, and he finally got the Dice type of audience. Tommy, that's why I'm praying Melton can come up with the number to offer to John to get him to go to Hackamania.
Yeah,
because I want him to do Act 2.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I was talking to somebody today, and I equated this to the dice the day the laughter died when he walked the room, and this is going to go down in infamy. This is that the Rodney's thing was legendary in not a entertaining way. It was chaos. It was just a total dumpster fire train wreck, but the people that converged on it are what made it entertaining. It was like that Rolling Stones gig where the Hells Angels murdered everybody. I mean, it was just ill-fated, but it was still legendary.
Here's an interesting take from F. Sheeple. Everyone cheered when he ripped the papers, and then they went home and changed their minds.
Kind of.
Yes, sir. That's entitled to do that, right?
What's up, Leo?
Would you like to read this one, Andy? Because it's got your catchphrase in it.
Let's talk shit. Tojo rules. $2 Dan is comedy cancer. Thank you for the two, Leo.
And I will do this because I like to say my catchphrase. Thanks for the two. Hit the like button. Dan is a humor black hole. Maybe Dan can be funny, but he seems to be more angry than funny at times, which doesn't really work. Pardon, a little Radio Gold burp there. But I want to ask a question about karmic, because the other day, yesterday when I was getting off from recording, I noticed that karmic was on the YouTube homepage, and it literally said YouTube featured.
Mm-hmm.
And he was streaming to quite a low audience by his type of usable standards. So the question I would have, well, echoes two questions. Thanks for the two questions. What does YouTube featured mean? And do you think that the karmic stuff is done? Do you think that he has pissed so many people off and bored so many people that he has lolcowed himself out of being a lolcow? People have just sort of put him into the steel toe bracket of, you know what? Done. Don't even want to make fun of you. Fuck off.
So that's a strange two questions there. With the features, I don't know how it works, but even my show's been quotes YouTube featured, so maybe it's just a random thing that it does every so often. With regards to karmic, I don't think having a big audience or being successful, getting a good amount of money for the amount of people you have, makes you a lolcow. We know Opie notoriously gets very few viewers, and people would refer to him in a way as a lolcow. I think if you class him as one from a few months ago, he still is one now.
What do you think, Andy?
Yeah, karmic's a weird one for me because I've never actually watched his show proper. I have no idea what it is. And Steel Toe is kind of like that for me, too. I would never lend enough of my attention to either one of those shows. But when karmic is flying off the handle and calling everybody a twat and telling them to suck his dick, like, I love this shit. The thing that is the manic depressive stuff, when he's all the way up or all the way down, that's the sweet spot. Anything in between, I don't have oxygen for. And when that question reminded me of like a Phil Elmore, who, like, these people that try to show up on the scene and insert themselves into the Dabbleverse, and they're just not received the right way, and it's just like, okay, we've had enough of this. And maybe karmic, I don't think he has the patience and whatever, just the demeanor to sustain the Dabbleverse. He's too tender. He's too much of a moron. he just can't keep up with it. And but I think he's a wild character, and I like when he's all the way up and all the way down.
Well, you know, if he doesn't have any patience, then he wouldn't be a very good doctor.
Right. He's like Dr. Steve. He's always...
Who we're also going to meet at Hackamania.
Hell yeah.
Big W, thanks for the toll. Tommy did what SJ would have done 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's not a bad shout. Yeah, that's not a bad shout, to be fair. He probably would have done something similar, especially if he had a few of the people around him kind of egging him on a little, kind of been like, God.
Yeah, but then does that mean that Tommy is a lol car? He's going to turn into the next Stuttering John?
Honestly, I think it's one of these things where you've got to look at the criteria. I think he definitely is dangerously close, at least, to a few of those things. And even if he's nice, that doesn't mean you can't, you can be a lol cow and a nice enough guy. I'm sure of it.
I like the way Tommy talks in real life like a worn out VHS. And then he, like, you know, he started speaking to him like this, name is Grot! And you think, yeah, this tape's fucking hashed out. Ghost Crusader, thanks for the five. Karmic is a lol cow. He just sits and reads chats. Tommy at least does stuff, cringe or not. Tommy's greater than Kyle.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's Karmic's name, if that helps.
I do have to say, like, when Tommy, was that actually Tommy that showed up on your show after Carl left? But there's there's like, don't try too hard. That was a swing and a miss.
Yeah, that was, Andy Dufresne had better prison comedy than fucking Tommy did last night on the show. Hit the like button if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. When you hung out with the sisters, that was the version of that bit.
That's going to be the name of our Hackamania crew, by the way. The sisters, just a bunch of guys hanging out doing guy stuff.
Just the boys. You mean Gummy Chainsaw?
Just being good friends to each other. Dildo Baggin 666. Thanks for the 10. Or should I do it like Roger Moore?
Nope.
Please.
Yeah. Thanks for the 10. That's one of my topical references. So we've got Roger Moore and the Shawshank Redemption. Do people want Tommy to do a show like Carl? Carl's show is very popular. I can't watch it. It's like a special needs teacher talking to his students. Agonizing, but he makes money and people like it.
What a backhanded compliment to you there, Hughie. His show's very popular. I can't watch it. That's why I watch this shit instead. It's like, fair play.
Didn't even get that. No, he's saying Tommy's show is...
No, I'm he's sure saying Dildo, what do you want from
sure
him?
Dildo is having a great time.
Dildo is saying should we all be the same? And it's like, no. Keep doing your stuff, Tojo. You do it exactly how you want to. People just can't help but give advice. I can't either, and I know you're going to ignore it. But I fall in that trap with Shmuel Buckman. Every so often, I forget that he's an idiot, and I just talk to him back and forth until he tricks me. And I'm like, oh, fuck, I forgot you're an absolute monster. So, yeah.
You know what I find fascinating about Shmuel? And I legitimately don't understand how he doesn't know this yet. He doesn't do an audio check until he goes live on the air. Like, why can't he check beforehand?
You started the show late because you're too busy chatting in this chat to your people instead of doing an audio check with us. So, you know.
I was trying to get them to hit the like button. And I'm sure they're going to do it now, right, everybody?
Do it.
Hit it twice.
A couple of likes. Yeah, all you got to do is hit it the once and it unlocks a funny thing.
A dick pic. So,
a picture of my fucking dick. Anyway, it's enough of John's references. But the thing I'm going to say about Tommy, though, is that if he's getting bored on a stream, don't start playing music. Just stop streaming.
Yes. He goes, right, Andy, this is why it annoyed me earlier when you said about the one time he did it, that it worked half decently. You're absolutely right. But with Hughie, as much as I hate to say it, he does sit back at the right times most of the time. Sometimes too long, and sometimes he should interrupt a bit earlier. But in general, Husey does it pretty well. With Tommy, he did it once accidentally, right? The rest of the time, he just chucks people off, goes off, goes, gets a bagel sometimes from a local shop, comes back and goes, oh, what happened? So, yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's on me for not refusing to watch his show. But I've seen some Stalin 19 clips that gave me the impression that he knows what he's doing sometimes. So I could be wrong.
In the poll that I put up about Tommy, if he's a lol cow now, the 53% said no. So you're not there yet, Tommy. Here's what happened. Fuck.
Halfway then.
So this leads into our next topic because we're still waiting for the lovely lady to join us. Not Paul Rubens. Thanks for the five. Where the fuck is Keanu? Oh, and Tommy knew he had to get suspended.
Because he can't control himself not to go live.
Lemmy, get back on his show. He's retarded. He can't read. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, well, I think we should just fuck, Kaylee. Is that
yeah,
cool?
I'm in. Let's go.
Yeah. Keanu will be joining us imminently, hopefully. But it just brings us to our final topic. So, Eccle, if you want to go put on your little jammies, or do you want to stay with this last topic?
I'll stay with the big boys. It's fine.
Nice. This is what the lads are like. Because it's going to be like, by the way, Eccle, how excited are you going to be for Vegas when you can actually speak to me about the time and we can use American time but actually be using normal time in Vegas?
This is awkward. I wasn't planning on meeting you in Vegas, but maybe I can say hi.
Well, I'm just going to walk around and call people Eccle until somebody turns around. It's going to go,
until I turn around and go, yeah? Yeah? Is that you?
What you want? I don't know what's doing.
I'm definitely not taking that as a drop to give pay you back for the one you got for me.
Yeah. Good stuff. Hit the like button for great chemistry. But I want to ask about Kiki and Stuttering John, because I asked this one yesterday, and then Carl mentioned on WATP that him and Keanu started. You know, they spoke at the Rodney's gig, and not that they're like the best friends ever, but they're at least on speaking terms again. So all like the taking shots and the fuck yous and the all that stuff is over with for now. And I've got to say about Kiki that I know Eccle does United States of Australia and stuff, but they don't. She is a very nice person, and I think she gets caught up in the silly dramas that go on. Hello, Kimberly, love. Hello. Thanks for being a member. So I think that it's a good sign, or it's a good thing that Kiki and Carl are talking again. But my question is, I'm going to start with Andy on this one. How long do you think this leads into Kiki versus Stuttering John in 2026? Because he doesn't like it when his inner circle have other friends. He needs to be their boss and talk down to them, even though he's a fucking nobody. So how long do you think their friendship will last of 2026? Hit the like button.
Yeah, that's a good question. And my answer is it's already begun. She's already on notice with John based on the fact that she was playing nice with this den of thieves that are all of John's enemies at Rodney's, right? So she's a people pleaser, right? She doesn't want Carl, who's openly said that she sucks, to hate her. So she tried to play nice, and then Carl turns around the very next day and says, fuck you, your set sucked. So she wants to please everybody. And she's pleasing nobody, including Carl and now John, because John saw her do that and John saw Kiki play nice with Anthony. And now John's opinion of her has been poisoned, and he's going to set it aside because he thinks that she's hot and wants to jerk off to her and think that he has a chance with her. But it's in the back of his mind. It's already being corrupted. That's my opinion.
Fuck you!
Yeah, fuck me.
Fair enough.
And I'm here for it. I want John to be heartbroken over Keanu.
But did you see the clip of... I actually did research this one, Ackle, where Stuttering John was watching... Yeah, he was watching a clip with Ava. There's a clip of Gino saying about how he didn't want Kiki going to a gig, another gig with just John alone. And then John starts taking that badly. And Ava was, I'm not saying she was stirring the shit, because that I don't want to get on anybody's bad side, but it did seem like Ava was picking up more on certain comments that could potentially be taken out of context and spun into an argument. And I don't think, because apparently Kiki's always been friends with Kumia. And I don't think that Stuttering John liked the fact that Kiki was with Kumia and hanging out and all that shit. So Ackle, what do you think?
I think she'd be stupid to burn bridges further with John. I didn't realise that had happened recently with regards to those two. But she gets a lot more attention, I think, as a heel type character in the Dabbleverse. She's crushing Gino, which must kill him, with regards to how much attention she gets, like going on shows or having her own show. I know it doesn't get amazing numbers, but it gets a lot better than his, and I think it gets better donations as well. So if I'd be surprised if she doesn't get back into his books, and Andy kind of got it right with regards to she's a woman and her pictures are online if someone can send them to John. So he's going to be happy enough to be like, that's fine, you know. Just say something bad about Cole. Oh, Cole's a smile talker. Brilliant. Very good. Great. Okay. Best friends again. But yeah. Will it last a year? No. But I reckon it should get back on good terms with him shortly.
But I don't think Kiki gets the credit for when she does say something
for some
funny.
Reason,
but like she said that Carl should open up a nightclub called Club Foot.
Mm.
And I'm like, that's good shit. Probably made
not for a comedian. Not for a comedian whose job is to be funny. I wouldn't say that's good shit. I'd be like, I might remotely smile a tiny bit if someone came up with that off the cuff. That'd be about it.
Listen, a comedian not being funny in 2026 is not something to hold against them. There's nobody funny anymore. Even some old Rodney Dangerfield stuff doesn't have the same effect anymore. No offense.
Kiki is not funny. Good point. Good point, Husey.
You got to throw yourself down a flight of stairs to be funny over there.
Hey!
Hey!
Not Paul Rubens.
Thank you for the turn.
Was Roger Moore here? Holy fuck. Hit the like button. Kiki is a drunk who makes all the wrong decisions. Sadly, she can be nice, but she always does the wrong thing. She sides with the loser that can't do anything for her. I'm talking about Gino, not John.
Mm-hmm. Very good point. Paul or not Paul?
It's not Paul. It says it's not Paul.
It's literally not Paul. Yeah.
It's obviously not. Yeah, but I mean, yeah, well, of course, Kiki's going to side with Gino. She sucks his cack. Absolutely Trucker Andy, the better one from the All Apologies duo, if you don't mind me saying so. Kiki actually did get caught giving Gino a beige live on camera during the one of the content houses.
Is that right?
Certainly was. Good girl. But yeah, I think that the problem with the Kiki, because Stuttering John keeps mentioning the fact that he thinks she's good looking, and he's not doing that as to be complimentary. He really wants her to understand. She says,
well, I look at you sexually, and I want to have sex with you.
So I think that he's eventually going to cross the line. He's going to try something that he shouldn't do. And I think, because I like, allegedly, I remember the Jay Moore podcast that he used to do years and years ago, like 20 years ago, whatever the fuck. I remember he had these guests, a lot of these female guests on that had, that said that she once had to get her neighbor to get John out of her house because he was harassing her so much because she had rejected him. And I've been dying to find that again. So I just said that Kiki seems like a nice enough person, but I've got to say it doesn't come across like the smartest person in the world. And I think she would surround herself with a bunch of scumbags.
Are you trying to tell me she's backstage and arriving on the show right now? That's how you're introducing her.
God, look at Husey. He turns on Cole yesterday. He turns on Kiki today. This is vicious.
Yeah, wow. Give me like 10 Heil Hitlers.
Is this because she's not showing up to the show on time?
Wow. Probably not. But yeah, I just think that this is all going to turn into another rough year. And it may be even John versus Kiki and Gino 2026, which is a shame. But there's nothing we can do about that. And I don't think that Kiki is going to be joining us. And I'm going to end this poll that says, is Karmic washed? And it's 78% of they say yes. So, Echo, just in case you have to drop off if Kiki randomly turns up, what do you have coming up that we should all be looking forward to right now?
Yeah, 3 o'clock Eastern, Tuesday, Saturday, and Sunday on my channel. Give it a watch. It's all good. It's all good. There you go.
Yeah.
Don't you dare kick me off if she turns up. I'm going to say horrible things to her.
Okay. And Andy, what specifically have you got coming up that we should all be looking out for?
Yeah, please subscribe to the All Apologies Podcast YouTube channel, where this Thursday I do a live stream poker game with... this week it's a rotating cast of people from the Dabbleverse. So anybody that wants to participate, hit me in the DMs on X, and I'm not picky. Like, I want to take everybody's money, fake money, YouTube's terms of service. But we have Joey C, Shmuel Buckman, $2 Dan, and Dylan from Somewhere, American Cupcake, among others. And then every Sunday morning at 9 or 10 a.m. I have Nelly, you guys, everybody's favorite British hooer,
you know,
the
show, you know, proper. Nelly, she was on my first ever live stream. Do you know that, Andy?
I do know that.
Yes, yeah.
So we get along so well. Yeah. No, yes. So check out the show proper on Sunday mornings live and the poker game Thursdays.
There you go. Well, I want to thank you both for coming on. I'm going to assume that Buckman just messaged me there to say that he's leaving work now.
Oh, that's good.
That's good. Good
morning, just in time.
Yeah. What did I miss? We're going to leave with Andy. Of course, he's in a band and he's always talking about music. We can see a guitar in the background. And we're going to leave by rocking. So thanks, everybody, and see you on the next one, which is potentially Sunday with Kaylee and Christian Blatt, maybe or not. You never know. Hit the like button. Okay, thank you, Eccle, and thank you, Andy. At the time of recording this, the planned next episode is to go back into one of my Does This Certain Filmmaker Stink episodes. I want to do one of them, and plus I'd like to avoid the drama and the arguments and shit for a while. So that will be fun to do. I forgot what I was going to say. It was going to be witty and intelligent, but there you go. I could really just do another take of this outro and remember what I was going to say and not leave in all this shit. Fuck it. I'm leaving it all in. And anyway, it is Shuzy. Bye-bye.